Welcome to episode number 190.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips on where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the episode number 190 of the RV Podcast. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, please know how welcome you are right here. Whether you have a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this podcast is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and always using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome. We're honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, how would you like to make a difference in this world with your RV travels? To really help individuals in local communities while still enjoying the RV lifestyle and traveling to the destinations of your choice? In this episode, we are going to learn about an offshoot of the Habitat for Humanity organization in which RVers build homes with Habitat homeowners in the U.S. and Canada. Plus, of course, we have lots of RV news, RV tips, tech ideas, an off-the-beaten-path report, and much, much more. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Spring is sprung.
It is. It's beautiful outside.
I had to drag you into the recording studio because you are out there trying to feed the hummingbirds.
I'm trying to get the hummingbird feeder up, and I got some yard work I want to do. This time of year, I like doing yard work. Later in the summer, I don't like it.
Now, are the hummingbirds here?
They're going to be here any day. The forsythia is blooming. The flowers are starting to bloom. The trees are starting to bud. They'll be here.
Okay. It's kind of funny. There's some websites that you can actually track their migration. But these little buggers, they come from a long way. And they're hungry.
Well, I love them. I think they're fun.
Yep. You know, a lot of people have little hummingbird feeders in their RV, and you just set it out. We need to bring one with on our journeys, because I've seen people with them, you know, right landing on their hands and all that stuff.
So I can get a free hummingbird feeder if they still have some left at our local bird feed store.
Let's get one. And
Well, they're all gone. Today's the last day.
Well, let's hurry up and record.
Yeah,
and
we better get this done. Get down there. Get something free. If I spend a whole bunch of money, they'll give me something free.
That's always good. It doesn't quite work that way, but it sounds good. Hey, we are back home in our Michigan Sticks and Bricks house, as you can tell, but only for a few days. I think it's about every other week we're gone, isn't it?
We were gone half the month last month.
Yeah, and that was a cold month. We know we're on the road more than half the year these days.
Well, I knew why my allergies were a little confused from being in 100-degree heat.
Out in Arizona.
Phoenix and a sandstorm to being in the snow and
Michigan.
And then you went through
the pollen season down south. So it's kind of been, I have a cold too, but I think I caught that from our grandkids. So when they call them grand germs, I know why they call them that. So
but it was worth it.
Yes, it was, but don't let anybody know I'm saying that. Anyway, we're here, but just for a few days, and we emphasize few because we hit the road next week. We will be heading to Cambridge, Ontario, Canada next week, where we will be very privileged to be teaching a session at Owner's School. And we haven't really talked much about that. This is for owners of Road Trek and Hymer RVs. They're putting on, I think, 3 sessions this year. And they're all sold out, so I can't get you in one, but they're very popular. And this is a kind of like a 3-day base camp owner school, and we're going to be able to teach a session or so for owners of Road Trek and Hymer RVs at the Cambridge, Ontario headquarters of the Irwin Hymer Group of North America. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, and we're staying at a local campground there and look forward to lots of visiting around a campfire with the students who will be attending this gathering from all across North America. And we'll take our video gear and see if we can find some interesting people to interview. And it should be a lot of fun.
It always is a lot of fun when we're with other RVers and Yeah, who knows what we'll find out there? I think it'll be a lot of fun. This week we're sticking around home, and I'm going to be doing a bit of recuperating. I have surgery scheduled this week to repair some damage that I did to my right elbow. Turns out I broke it back in January. I slipped on the ice. We were up in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and it was during one of our road trekking gatherings there, and I thought I was real clever. I got across the Big Mac Bridge, and I found a place where I could get a photo of all of our different RVers as they were driving across that bridge, which separates Michigan's Upper and Lower Peninsulas. I took one step out of our RV, and bam, I went right straight down. I knew my elbow was hurt, but I didn't think it was very bad.
And I will never hear the end of it because I was texting our daughter when you fell. And I looked out and there you were flat on your back, but you weren't bleeding and you were alive and you were in the middle of a huge patch of ice. And I wasn't going to go walk out on that patch of ice and join you. I knew you were okay, and I went back to texting my daughter.
She did. So. I am lying, people. You have to picture this. I am lying flat on my back, and I kind of am dazed. You know, it's a pretty good fall.
Your head was up. I knew you.
I lifted my head up to look at you, and you looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" And then you turned away and went back to texting.
I don't remember saying.
I remember it very well.
I knew what you were doing. I can't believe I said that.
What are you doing? As if I was doing this for fun.
You were in a huge patch of ice. There's no way I was walking out on that. You're on your own to hands and knee it off that patch of ice.
Well, anyway, my elbow just kind of never got very much better. And it just looks really weird. And there's this hunk of gunk that they got to cut out of it. I won't go into all the details, but...
Hopefully it'll be an easy repair.
Yeah, I'm counting on it being it should be minor surgery, and I just figure it's time to get it tended before we're all tied up with even more travel, which starts in just a couple of days, so should be fun. Meanwhile, we've got lots of RV news for the week for you, and we'll kind of go through some of these. Now, if you were a regular subscriber to our RV newsletter, you would already know some of these stories, but if you don't know about the newsletter, I've got a special thing for you. If you subscribe to it, from our website, just go to roadtrekking.com and you scroll down the right-hand side, you'll see a place to subscribe to the newsletter. You'll get a free copy of our packing list. We've put together an RV packing list that you can print out and take with you every time you're going on an RV trip and never forget anything. How many times we all do that, right? But anyway, we're going to give that away for everybody who subscribes to our free newsletter. It goes out every Monday morning, and you can learn about that from the site. But here are the RV news items that we want to talk about this week. Sticker shock. That's what we're going to get at the pump. Just as RVers are hitting the road again, we are now experiencing the highest fuel prices in 3 years. That's that sticker shock. Blame it on demand. Caused by pent-up desires to get outside and to travel again. And more demand, of course, means you pay more at the pump. Federal Energy Information Administration's latest data indicates consumer gasoline demand is at 9.857 million barrels a day. And that is the highest level ever on record for the month of April. And it exceeds typical summer demand measurements, in fact. And that means that it has all driven up prices at the pump across the U.S., according to analysts at the Automobile Club. 5 states reporting double-digit increases. The national average went up a nickel to $2.76, according to the Auto Club. Overall prices are at the highest level now in 3 years. I keep repeating that. 3 years. Gas selling at $2.26 or more at every gas station in America, and more so, 13% of stations across the country have had pump prices set at $3 a gallon or more. So get used to it.
Do you remember hearing about the young man who woke last summer to the crunching sound of a black bear biting him on the head?
Whoa!
The young man was at a campground in Colorado, and while he was sleeping, a bear bit him on the head and tried to drag him out of his tent. Other staff members scared the bear away and likely saved his life. The young man, now 20, was in the news again this week for surviving a shark bite. This time, the Colorado man was on vacation in Hawaii when he was bit by a shark. He had been in the ocean on a board when a shark bit his leg. And 4 years ago, he was bitten by a rattlesnake. You talk about bad luck.
This guy was bitten by a bear, a rattlesnake, and a shark in 4 years.
What else is out there that he should be aware of?
Let's not invite him to one of our road trekking gatherings, eh?
Yeah.
Yellowstone National Park, that's on everybody's bucket list for, it seems like, every year. Steamboat Geyser, which is the largest of their many thermal features there. Something's going on with Steamboat Geyser. It's been dormant for years now, several years. And in the last 6 weeks, it has erupted three times. The last Friday was the latest one. And when Steamboat's geyser blows, it goes as high as 400 feet compared to Old Faithful, which is only about 150 feet only. It's pretty impressive, Old Faithful. Well, you can imagine Steamboat geyser. It's a little farther and harder to get to. But all this, of course, is because of the extensive geothermal activity underneath the park, a big magma chamber more than 50 miles long, 12 miles wide beneath the Earth's surface there. That's why all that thermal stuff. But Steamboat Geyser, we've never seen that erupt, but three times now in the last 6 weeks.
Pretty exciting.
Yep.
There was lots of media buzz last week when the Wall Street Journal ran a major story reporting how the baby boomer generation has embraced small luxury camper vans. The article talked about what many of us know. The small van lifestyle can open up a world of adventure and travel. It's old news, of course, to those of us already living the dream, but stories like that can have a major effect on the industry, driving up demand and making sure that the camper vans and small motorhome sales will be continuing to grow through the roof.
Mm. Well, we knew that. We're working on a video now that'll go on our YouTube channel, RVLifestyleChannel.com. It'll go up there this week, and it's looking at some of the newer features in small camper vans. And they were one of the guys we interviewed there said that 30% growth he's seen in the Class B marketplace, which is just huge. All RVs are selling like crazy, but 30%, highest growth rate ever. And it's in the Class Bs, the smaller ones. So there we go. Going to be more of those. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Campers Inn. Campers Inn is the RVer's trusted resource, has been for 50 years. They are the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership. They have 19 locations around the country. They're growing new locations in Ocala, Florida, Acworth, Georgia, Thornburg, Virginia. They've got other ones planned. They are home, and this is why so many people love Campers Inn. They're home of the Integrity Pricing Guarantee. And what the Integrity Pricing Guarantee means is that when you are quoted a figure to buy a new RV, it includes everything. Freight, orientation, detailing. You are not going to be surprised by hidden upcharges and fees, as all too sadly happens at other RV dealerships around the country. Not at Campers Inn. Campers Inn sells motorhomes, travel trailers from the industry's leading manufacturers like Tiffin, Grand Design, Coachman, Thor, Forest River, and they have Campers Inn exclusives like the Gulfstream Friendship and the Cruiser Embrace. Award-winning RV sales and service, hundreds of RVs, all at the greatest prices, and Integrity Pricing throughout. Check them out. Campers Inn, tell me you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
Is it a gadget? A recipe? A tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV Tip of the Week.
Our tip this week has to do with another handy app for your smartphone. Mike had a blog post earlier this week on a bunch of different apps that are especially handy for RVers. But the one that caught my attention is an app called Plant Snap. How many times have you been camping somewhere and wondered what species of plant or trees you were seeing? This app lets you instantly identify plants of all kinds, flowers, trees, and much more. Simply by taking a picture of the plant, the developer claims the app is able to recognize 90% of all plant species on the planet, with hundreds of thousands in its database. It's always adding new species, too. The app automatically updates for you. The app is $3.99 for iOS and Android. We'll put a link to it in the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/190. We'll also link to the blog post Mike did on a couple of other similar apps you may want to try. That post has a short video that shows the apps in action. Meanwhile, be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful and premium electric bikes with free shipping and a special discount for listeners to the Road Trekking RV Podcast. Jennifer and I have been Rad Power bike owners now since the start of the year, and we couldn't be happier. We have the city bike model. Rad Power Bikes has four different models, and the one we have is called the city bike. Mine is kind of like it looks like a little bit of a beach cruiser style. You sit upright in it. Jennifer's city bike model is the new step-through version of the bike. In other words, you don't have to swing your leg over that center bar, that center pole that crosses them. Kind of, we used to call them girls' bike, but now they're for everybody who, you know, it's just a little hard to get maneuvered around some of these bikes the older you get. These bikes are perfect for people. Maybe you're recovering from an injury or an illness, or your stamina isn't quite what it was, or you just need a little help in getting up those hills or keeping up with others. You're going to love an e-bike, and a Rad Power bike is just a quality bike. One of the things that make them so outstanding is that the whole dealer retail chain is cut away. They're a consumer direct brand, which means that you get a premium electric bike. You don't have to pay those huge markups caused by dealers and third-party retailers. So that means that Rad Power bikes are often priced at less than half of what you would pay for a comparable bike on the market, because that chain is cut out. All four bike models they have feature that 750 watts of power for the motor. All four have that motor. It's the most powerful motor an e-bike can have, maintaining a street legal status, meaning you don't have to have a license. You can ride it anywhere you can ride a bike. They all can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. And then, and this is what's neat, you don't have to even use the motor. You can pedal yourself on these beautiful bikes, but the motor will kick in if you want to use it. You have five different levels of pedal assist. The smallest is just a little bit of help, and you can go all the way up to just not even pedaling and and using the throttle and having it do everything. But you can ride pedal-free with the throttle or use those five different levels of pedal assist for that extra boost, or combine them however you want. They're just so much fun to ride. They really are. You can go between 20 and 40, even 45 miles on a single charge. And I mentioned free shipping, which is a big deal. They come in a box. They're very easy to assemble. Even I can do that. And if you mention, besides free shipping, when you check out, if you mention Road Trekking, use that as the promo code, Road Trekking, they will give you an additional $75 off. RadPowerBikes.com. Tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Jennifer, do you remember we had a call earlier this year from a guy named Mark in Texas? And Mark is in the process of building an RV park. And I was really impressed that he reached out to us and he said, would you ask your listeners what features they would like in an RV park?
I remember that. I thought that was really a cool thing for him to ask what people want.
I mean, somebody who actually cares. And our listeners and our readers of our blog and our Facebook posts, everybody was just really helpful. They gave all sorts of ideas, what they like, don't like about different RV parks. Well, Mark is back, and he left us another message. This time he's asking for advice about setting up an online reservation system. So let's listen up to what Mark does, and then we'll talk about it.
Hey, Mike and Jennifer. This is Mark Kroger calling again from Austin, Texas. As I told you last time, we are looking to build an RV park in the Austin area. And now we're wanting to know, what is it that RVers would like on an online reservation system. Our goal is to make a seamless system where you can get online, be approved, reserve your spot, and pay all before ever meeting us. We think this would make life a lot easier for someone who wants to know that they've got a place waiting for them when they come to town. Could you let us know if that's a good idea, and also maybe add to that any thoughts that we haven't considered that would make an online presence more helpful? Thank you so much. We're looking forward to creating the best RV park in the area.
Well, thanks, Mark, for asking. That's good. I think there's a lot of most RV reservation systems do all that already. So I know you can buy off-the-shelf software. Many of the campgrounds use it. But you ask, Mark. So we've got some suggestions. Here's one for you. And I've seen this on some of the national sites that are really out there, you know, and it really helps. You should have, obviously, a map that shows your campground and shows each site. It is very helpful, I have seen, when you can actually click on a photo of that site. So you're not surprised. You see there's a big tree under there, and I can't put my awning out there because there's a bunch of rocks there or whatever it is. Having a picture of that site before you actually reserve it is really helpful. And with that, I think we go accurate descriptions and photos. I know one of the things Jennifer suggested that every RV park should have is a workout area.
That's me.
Yeah. Well, they should. You know, you get them at hotels, and why not? You know.
We were just camping up in Muskegon, and I said to you, you know, people book these sites, and one was for a long pull through vehicle, and there was a crack in the cement, and boy, I said that would be a terrible surprise help. It was this huge drop off.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could park like a big pull through.
Or a fifth wheel. You couldn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whoa. And then a lot of them, like, there it was all dirt, and the one right next door had grass.
So
and I would rather have grass than dirt.
So to take that into consideration, Mark, that means, at least our advice is that you put a photo up and accurately describe it. Is it completely level, or is it not quite level? You're going to need your leveling jacks. These are the things that really fry people when they pull in and they find out they got a bunch of dirt. And if they had just booked the site next door, like Jennifer says, it would have been a concrete pad. So be really accurate and let people see what those sites look like. But taking that further, you know, people have a lot of different interests when they're in here. If you want them to stick around in your park, offer them information about what's going on in your community, like restaurants. Yeah,
that's an idea. We've never had anybody offer that.
You know, a lot of people, well, according to our survey, we did a survey, just about 70% of RVers travel with a dog or a pet, most of them dogs.
Oh, yeah, the off-leash fenced-in area.
We talked about having an off-leash, and we're seeing that. We saw it at one of the parks we were at.
Jellystone.
At a Jellystone park a couple of weeks ago. But KOA, of course, has that in many of theirs. We mentioned that when you first asked, but how about if you take that a step further? Because if people want to go out and tour town or experience some of the attractions in the area, dogs are not always welcome. How about if you have a sort of a concierge service where people could get a dog sitter? Somebody could come by the site and check on the dogs.
I think that sounds like a great idea, but wasn't he looking for online?
Well, no, you put it right there on online thing.
That'd be great.
So I want to also reserve dinner at this restaurant, or I'd like to book some tickets for this museum. I'd like to get in contact with somebody local who I can book to take care of Rover.
I know when we were at Mammoth Cave, there were kennels.
Yeah, and in Kentucky.
We left our dog at that time, Ty. And we left him there outside in this cage, and we had our own lock, and we locked it. We left him there, and the poor boy, we came back and got him, and he seemed quite happy.
He was, and we were able to, you know, be very sure that he was in a kennel. He was fine. So, you know, think about the things that your people have and make it as easy as you can online for them to take advantage of all those different services. I appreciate you asking, and I'm sure that our listeners will jump in. And listeners, you just heard that question from Mark. What would you expect in an online reservation center? It's pretty easy to reserve at most campgrounds now. But, you know, here's another one. How about a phone number that is answered? Because oftentimes I'll see a campground number. I could reserve it online, but I need to ask a question. And so I will call and there's nobody there, or I get the voicemail. And then, you know, I'm driving and driving and I need an answer to that question before I check in. And, you know, they call me back 2 hours later or not at all. So, so all of that is part of being, you know, customer service. And I'll be very anxious, Mark, to hear about your plan. We were just out in the Austin area. I wish I could have met you there. We'll be back out there next spring. So we'll, maybe we can see how you're coming along with this plan. Share it with us. Meantime, listeners, what do you think? Mark wants to know what they should have in an online reservation system. Go ahead and send those tips in. Okay. Well, oh, hey, we got a nice little voicemail from a good friend of ours and one of the regulars on the blog.
Hi, Mike. This is Camp Skunk. I'm sitting out here in Big Sur looking at the Pacific Ocean this week, maybe next week too. It's really beautiful. I'm back on my spot, and we've really slowed down and started to enjoy the countryside.
Camp Skunk just had a post on our roadtrekking.com blog about where he's at Big Sur out there. He, if you remember, if you're a regular, you know who Camp Skunk is. If you're a brand new listener, Camp Skunk is sort of our resident full-timer in a Class B camper van. He and his wife Sharon and their cat Fiona just spent 6 months in Europe. They shipped their van over there. He wrote about that extensively on the blog. And they come back and they spend a couple months in the winter just doing family stuff down in Florida. And he's back. He's been back on the road. Now he's out there in the Pacific Northwest. Now, he specializes in finding boondocking areas. Right now, he's camping in sort of pullouts and parking areas along the Coast Highway out there in California. I saw it. Did you see the stuff on our Facebook group from people who are camping up the way a little bit up in Oregon along the coast? There's a lot of people who love to spend nights in those little campgrounds. They're not even campgrounds. They're not even camp areas. They're pullouts. They're parking areas, usually across from a beautiful view of the ocean. Some places up there in Oregon have let you, you can spend the night there, no problem. But I've had a couple of reports now, people who've been doing that this year and have been woken up by the police who say, well, you can sleep there. You can spend a couple hours, a few hours to catch some sleep if that's what you need, but you're camping. You know, you're cooking a meal inside your vehicle. You got lounge chairs set up. You're camping, and that's not what this is for. So I want to just remind you, if you are going up that way, don't assume that you're going to be able to find a place to spend the night. I have not been able to check this out with police, but we've had a couple of reports just this week from people who were roused in the middle of the night or had a visit from the police while they were out preparing their meal, said, you know, this isn't for camping. This is just for a rest area. So I don't know. So there you go. Be careful wherever you choose. You want to make sure that you have a backup plan if you're trying to boondock someplace free. And even if it doesn't say no camping allowed, if it says, if you think it's okay, that doesn't mean it is all the time. All right. Those are our questions for this week. And sponsoring our questions every week at this time, it's Van City RV. They bring you the largest inventory of Class B, new Class B. They have four locations now around the country. St. Louis, Missouri, Las Vegas, Nevada, Kalispell, Montana, and Colorado Springs, Colorado. They've been helping people get out there and explore the land since 1970, specializing in camper vans. They have all sorts of new models from Road Trek and other dealers. We have visited Van City RV. We've met their staff. We've heard many of our listeners over the years who've described their experience with phrases like, we were treated like royalty. All of the Van City RVs have a buy and fly program. You purchase your vehicle and then fly in to get it. They'll pick you up at the airport with five-star transportation back to the dealership. They'll give you a full orientation. Then $500 reimbursed towards your airfare. You'll get your new RV, and they will then set you up for two nights of camping nearby, completely set up, just like a veteran RVer. And then if you have any questions, they'll be there to answer them in person or by phone. So you make sure when you leave Van City that you have all the questions answered and you know how to run your new RV. First-class service, first-class sales, and first-class RVs from all the leading brands like Road Trek, Coachman, Leisure Travel Vans, Erwin-Heimer, Gulfstream, Midwest Automotive Designs, and more. All Class Bs, all at Van City RV. Tell them you heard about it on the Road Trekking RV podcast and that you listen every week. Tell them that, too.
You're listening to the RV Podcast.
You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention,
and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog.
And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast.
Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
All right, time now for our interview of the week. And everybody's heard about Habitat for Humanity, right? But do you realize there is also a very robust RV component to this wonderful organization? Established in 1989, Habitat RV Caravanners, and they spell care, C-A-R-E, Habitat RV Caravanners is an all-volunteer-run program with nearly 2,000 active volunteers traveling about the country in their RVs and building throughout the year. Habitat for Humanity's RV Caravanners is a unique opportunity for people who have an RV to travel wherever they want and to check in with the organization, and then they can find places that need help. They can then help build homes throughout the U.S. and Canada. They give people the freedom to travel to their destination of choice, then to volunteer, to do their work, and then come back to the comfort of their own RV at the end of a hard working day. It's a great program, and I was unaware of it until just recently, and when I heard about it, I knew we had to talk to somebody who is involved in it, and we found a great caravanner named Larry Halstead. Larry has been volunteering as a Habitat for Humanity caravanner with his wife, Mim, since 2008. Both are retired, and they have traveled across the country, volunteering from Michigan to Colorado to Georgia, where they're currently located when we talk to them. They've been construction team leaders. They've mentored students. And we'll put a link to the to where you can volunteer if you're interested in this as well. You don't need to have any experience at all in building. They'll help you all out, as you'll hear, as we bring on to talk about the Caravanner program of Habitat for Humanity, Larry Halstead.
Well, Larry joins us right now. Larry, thank you so much for being a part of this and helping others understand what Habitat's RV Caravanner program is. Now, you started in 2008. Tell us how you heard about it and why did you decide to be a part of all this?
Well, Mike, we had been on a winter break down in southern Texas. On our way home, we stopped in an RV park in Vicksburg, Mississippi. We talked to the people next door to us, and they were talking about RV caravanners. And they said, "Are you familiar with the program?" And we said, "No, we're not." And they said, "Well, are you familiar with Habitat for Humanity?" And we said, "Oh, yeah, we've heard of that." And they said, "Well, here's a brochure, and you might want to think about RV caravanner program and incorporate that into your travels with your RV, and become involved in building houses with this organization." So we did that, and we did our first build in 2008, as you said, and we've been doing it ever since, and we really love it.
Now, Larry, how long are you on the road every year, and where is your, do you have a sticks and bricks home, or are you an RV full-timer?
We have a home in Virginia. And we, in fact, just got home Monday of this week. We've been gone for 3 months.
3 months?
So we'll be on the road anywhere from 3 to 6 months per year volunteering with the RV Caravanner program.
Now, tell me, where do you stay? What places have you visited? And how much work is involved? What exactly do you do?
Well, we have visited many states, some of them several times, and what we typically do is we'll be there for a two-week period of time, and we will build a house from the foundation to the roof. We will have it all dried in a two-week period, including all the windows installed, all of the doors installed, and ready for the licensed trades to come in and do the electrical, the plumbing, and the HVAC work.
And now, you know, I know people are listening to this and they're saying, "I don't have any construction skills. I don't know how to do that." Is there a place for them there, or do you train them? Help me understand, who is this for? Who is it aimed at? What kind of skills do you have to have, or Do you learn them on the job?
We do not require any skills at all. Most of our volunteers are retirees or nearing retirement. We have many years of experience. Many of them are not related to building at all, but many of them are. And we encourage people to come in with an open mind and a willing heart, and we'll teach them what they need to know to work on a habitat work site. So skill sets is not a concern at all. We can train them.
Well, that's good. I qualify for that part of it. the no skills part. Larry, where do you stay in your RV? Are there typically hookups, or give us an idea of what it's like and where you stay?
The local habitat organizations normally provide some type of hookup. It might be at a church. It might be at their warehouse, or they might make special arrangements through a commercial campground. And some of the affiliates have their own RV park, and they will have full hookups for us, or either have access to dump stations, but we'll have electric, water, and sewer available.
Now, I have to ask you, Larry, what did you do before you you retired? Your wife is with you as well. Does she helps and works as well as you build these houses?
She does. She's an excellent operator on what we call a chop saw or a miter saw. She does actually work on the job site with us, and we find jobs for anyone. It doesn't matter. We can have them painting, or we always need gophers as well to help bring materials to the job site or do something like that. So we can find a job for just about anybody.
And what did you used to do? What skill set did you bring to your volunteer position there working for RV caravanners?
My background is in mechanical engineering and manufacturing management. In the automotive industry, I worked for a privately owned company, and we were suppliers to the automotive industry worldwide for interior trim products. So we had a lot of experience from the manufacturing side, not necessarily from the building side.
Now, here's the big question. Tell me, why do you do this? This is a lot of work. You're in your retirement years. You could be just traveling and kicking back in a lounge chair at the RV site. What is the payoff for you, so to speak, in volunteering for this great organization?
That's a wonderful question, and it's actually give back time. We've had a very good, successful career ourselves, and we just enjoy giving back to the community. And there's nothing more, shall we say, rewarding than to go back to a place that we have worked at, say, 2 or 3 years before. We see the houses that we actually helped build. We see the people that are living in them. And many of them, we worked side by side with them building their house. And now to go back and see that house, see it being well maintained, seeing the family, the smiles on their faces, knowing that they have a safe, comfortable home to live in, to sleep in, and to just enjoy life in. It's just very rewarding to be able to give back to the communities and just feel that satisfaction of helping somebody else.
You know, as I have traveled around in our RV, I have noticed a lot of people who they have a great time at first, but they start to get bored. They start to live like life is a non-ending vacation. And there's a lack of satisfaction, I think, out there. After you've done, you know, the bucket list things, what excites me about this program is the meaning that it probably gives to your life. You described it quite well there, but tell us about the friends that you have made in the 10 years you've been building homes for Habitat's RV caravanners.
Well, we started out when I retired about 15, 20 years ago, actually. We did our winter travels, and we would go south, and you know, you can only read so many books, and it gets boring, like you say, to sit around the campfire or whatever a lot of retirees do that are not involved. But we felt like we wanted to be active. I cannot sit still. I have to have projects. I enjoy interacting with people. And my wife and I both just said, you know, this RV caravan program sounds like it's something that we really might be interested in doing. And so that's where it started. And we've worked with so many different organizations and people that we've made contacts and friends. We have extended family throughout the United States from people that we have worked with and come to know quite well. So it's just that rewarding and that experience that we just enjoy doing it.
Well, we will put a link up to the Habitat's RV Caravanners website there where people can learn more about it and maybe meet you out there on the road, Larry. I want to, again, thank you for making some time available. And I think you're going to find there's a lot of people that you have touched with this interview. And we hope that we get lots of extra houses built with it. And I want to thank you again for making some time. And Jennifer and I look forward to meeting you and your wife out on the road someday, Larry.
Very good, Mike. We would enjoy having you join one of our builds. So this is a personal invitation to come join us.
I will.
We'll teach you we can teach you some job skills.
Well, my wife has a rule that I'm not allowed to handle a hammer, but I would like to learn how to do it well. So I will take you up on that, Larry, and we'll be in touch, I'm sure. Thank you again.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, you know, I really like those power nailers. You know, you push a little button and it drives a nail in. Do you think I could use one of those?
I was going to say, I have a rule. You can't have a drill.
Can't have a drill either.
Our office, the last time I painted it, the painter was laughing because I said it looks like a woodpecker lived here.
Yeah, I made the wrong holes. Yeah. Anyway, he promises to give me some skills, but doesn't that sound like delightful?
It sound like fun.
All the friendships that they make along the year.
We have covered things like that when we did freelance television.
Yeah, we did.
In Texas, I remember.
Yeah. We did a bunch of stories after hurricanes. We always find these volunteers down
and
helping
wonderful
out.
People that yep. help.
What a great opportunity. Listen, so I'm going to put a link on it. It's habitat.org/RV, but you'll find it in the show notes for this episode. Just go to roadtrekking.com/190 and scroll down to the interview of the week section, and you'll see our show notes there where we introduce you to Larry, and you'll see a link there, and you don't have to have any experience. You can register, you can be part of the whole program, the Habitat RV Caravanners program. You check it out. It could be very, very very rewarding spiritually for you as you just help other people. The interview of the week is brought to you by our good friends at SunshineStateRVs.com in Gainesville, Florida. Nick and his crew there, man, they sell every new and used Road Trek motorhome with this offer. They'll deliver it to you free anywhere in the country. At Sunshine State RVs, you will get the largest selection of used Class Bs anywhere in North America. That's how many they have. If you're looking for a used Class B, you know how hard they are to find. And if you make a trip down there to sunny Gainesville, Florida, you'll see a bunch of them right there on Nick's showroom at the Sunshine State RVs and their lot back there. They have every possible kind of RV that you could want from the Class B variety. They sell brands from Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and more. They are a new dealer for Road Trek. They sell brand new Road Treks as well, and you will not find a wider selection anywhere. Every RV that Sunshine sells is run through this very thorough 172-point inspection program in which they ensure that all of the mechanical, all of the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV that Sunshine State RV sell, road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior just as much as they do the outside. Every single component, they turn it on, they test it, they make sure it works. If all RVs did this, there'd be no complaints out there at all of them, of all RV dealers. Sunshine State RVs, we saw them. They do this. They run through that whole inspection program. All of their used RVs are thoroughly cleaned. thoroughly detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks and replace any silicone caulking. So they sell large inventory of used Class Bs, but they also sell brand new Road Trek Class Bs. They have brand new Coachman RVs, brand new Chinook RVs. You go check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com. Tell them you heard about them on the Road Trekking Podcast.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, our Tech Tip of the Week, our correspondent, as always, Steve Van Dinter.
Hi there, Mike. If I asked you to name the three biggest gifting holidays of the year, would you guess that Mother's Day would be on that list? It's true. After winter holidays like Christmas and Valentine's Day, Mother's Day is right there. And while Mom sure loves her flowers and jewelry, this year you might want to consider something a little different and tech her out for a change. Well, perhaps she's a music connoisseur who likes spending time by the pool. Then I'd suggest picking her up a UE Wonder Boom. These small and super portable wireless speakers are water and drop proof and come in six fun colors, including cashmere pink, fireball red, and lilac. Or maybe she's into fitness and loves to go hiking with the family. The Fitbit Versa waterproof smartwatch will help her keep track of those steps in style. And an added benefit for moms, beginning this month, the Fitbit app can now track female health as well. For the mom that loves taking pictures with the family or just pictures in general, there's no better option than the Google Pixel 2. This smartphone continues to be recognized on top for its amazing photo-taking capabilities. And couple that with a fast-charging battery and the Google Assistant built-in, and you've got one awesome companion. Well, once mom's taken the picture she wants, she's going to want to save them and put them on display for all to see. And that's where the LifePrint photo printer comes in. This portable Bluetooth printer requires no ink and prints high-quality images onto special 2-inch by 3-inch paper. And lastly, if mom's a fashionista, help her protect her phone and complement her wardrobe at the same time with a new Kate Spade case. These stylish, flexible covers will make sure her device stays protected no matter what she encounters in her active life, and the options are endless. With this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Mother's Day, just around the corner. Wow. Hey, when Verizon says better matters, they mean it. They're the sponsor of this podcast, this section of the podcast. They, of course, operate America's most reliable wireless network. We can say better because in survey after survey, Verizon ranks highest in all of the leading network studies, multiple tests year after year. Can your network say that? If you're stuck on the wrong network, head over to Verizon and get unstuck. And links to all of those products that Steve just mentioned, they'll be up in the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/190.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Well, we mentioned to you last week that we did some early season exploring along Lake Michigan's coastline in Michigan. We spent a delightful couple of days in and around Silver Lake, Michigan. That's right in central Michigan along the Lake Michigan coastline. It's a very small little town, and it owes its existence these days pretty much entirely to tourism and the very beautiful sand dunes that tower above the shoreline of Lake Michigan. Silver Lake is a small little inland lake that would be part of Lake Michigan were it not for those mountains of sand, those sand dunes that tower above it by 150 feet or so. Sand dunes run, of course, all along the north and central coastline of Lake Michigan. But what makes Silver Lake unique is the fact that you can drive all-terrain vehicles and beach buggies there. Most of the sand dunes are protected, and in fact, the most impressive section, which is called Sleeping Bear Dunes, has sand dunes that are over 400 feet high. That stretch is designated as a national seashore by the National Park Service, and no motorized vehicles are allowed there. Even pedestrian access is somewhat limited. But at Silver Lake, the state of Michigan has okayed a 450-acre section of the 2,000-acre dunes area as an area where off-road vehicles can scramble up and down the dunes. And so people bring their own vehicles. The town has several businesses that specialize in dune rides or the rental of ATVs. There are numerous campgrounds in the area, including a large state park. And that's where we stayed last week, in a campsite loop that is directly on the lake. You see this beautiful little silver lake, and then right across from it, you see there's big sand dune mountains of sand that separate it from Lake Michigan. Now, we had the place all to ourselves last week.
Yeah, there was only one other trailer
And he,
so just two of us.
And it's, I think, what is it, 200 site campground on two sides. It's two loops, one on the lake side and one on the other side of the road.
Right. I think there were 84 sites on where we were.
On the lake side.
And so naturally we liked it because there were only two of us there.
Yeah. So
it would be crowded in the summer.
Yep.
You have to tell people that.
Yep.
84 are kind of jammed in.
Yep. And as that weather does get warmer, all those parks along that Lake Michigan shoreline will fill up. Reservations are, like Jen said, that's our must. But we'll put a link up to our stay last week. There's a couple of photos there. And those dunes, though, if you've never experienced them, they're really fun. You can climb up at Silver Lake. Bo and I scrambled on up. It was a tough climb. I had a rough time climbing that. Bo, with his four-wheel drive, he had no problem getting up there. And I'm glad I had him on a leash because he could help pull me up a little bit. But we had a ball. And of all of our time in Michigan, that's the first time we've stayed at Silver Lake. So put that on your list, folks, as you're traveling through Michigan. Silver Lake on Lake Michigan.
If you like loud and rowdy, because I'm sure in the summer when everybody's out there tearing around.
Oh, you'll hear those ATVs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be fun to drive there. They would be really fun. And they don't do it. They've got an area there. They control it pretty well, so they're not causing massive amounts of erosion. They put them in a certain place. But you can go play and have a good time there. So, again, we'll put a link on the show notes to some photos from Silver Lake. Just go to roadtrekking.com/190. This part of the podcast brought to you by Steinbring Motor Coach, one of Road Trek's newest dealers in North America and a third-generation family business located in Garfield, Minnesota. That's the beautiful chain of lakes region in Minnesota. They're built on quality motorhomes, Steinbring Motor Coaches, and excellent pricing and service. They've been in the transportation business, the family has, since 1917. And the sales staff at Steinbring Motor Coach brings you decades of experience in the RV industry. They're celebrating 101 years in business, third generation family business, by the way. And year after year, Steinbring is named a Blue Ribbon dealer. They're a top 50 dealer. They win awards after awards. They sell new RVs from two manufacturers. The first is a Type A or a Class A RVs. They sell brand new Newmar Class A motorhomes. Beautiful Newmar. Newmar known for its quality, the beauty of their designs, and they have them in their showroom for you to look at right now. A couple of years ago, they were looking at, they wanted to get into the Class B market as the Class B market demand continued to grow. And so they looked around and they settled on the best, they say, and that's Road Trek for Class Bs. So they're brand new dealers for Newmar in the Class A category and Road Trek in the Class Bs. They also have a lot of pre-owned coaches from other brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood. You need to go visit them. Steinbring Motor Coach. You can go to their website, steinbringmotorcoach.com, or just to get up there to Garfield. You'll love staying and visiting the Chain of Lakes region. They have a huge indoor showroom that's just perfect for you to walk around and really look at these vehicles and get your feel for them. Whatever you're looking for, Class A, Class B, Class C, a diesel pusher, gas, a toy hauler, whatever it is, you'll find your next RV at Steinbring. Steinbring Motor Coach, telling me you heard about him on the RV podcast.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Okay, I got three of them for you this weekend. The first in Washington, Puyap of Washington. Somebody said that's how you pronounce it, Puyap. And I think it's at the Washington State Fair Event Center in Puyap, Washington, May 3rd through the 6th. It's the Puyap RV Show. Get up there and have some fun. Also May 3rd through the 6th in Bull Shoals, Arkansas, at the Bull Shoals Dam State Park. It is the Tin Can Tourists gathering there. This is a really neat organization for those of you who travel about in travel trailers. Check them out, Tin Can Tourists. They've got a big gathering there at Bull Shoals, Arkansas this weekend. And May 5th through the 6th, Saturday and Sunday, Glitz Camp America. These are state park events, participating state parks all across America. Almost every state has somebody that has some special event at their local state park. It's a national movement called Let's Camp America. Check a state park near you and take advantage of some of those great camping events for Let's Camp America.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so it's another episode of Road Trekking, the RV Podcast. Remember, if you would like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, please do us a favor. We love getting as many of you on as we can. Just record a voicemail message. Just go to roadtrekking.com and click that right-hand button about leaving a voicemail. You can do it as many times as you want. We'd love to hear your voices and make them a part of the show as we answer your questions or feature your comments. I also invite you to subscribe to this podcast. We're on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TunedIn, and all the major platforms. We release new episodes of the podcast every Wednesday. Don't forget about our mailing list. I talked about that earlier in the program. We send out a special newsletter every Monday morning to subscribers, absolutely free. And don't forget our YouTube channel, loaded with helpful videos on the RV lifestyle. You'll find that at RVLifestyleChannel.com, RVLifestyleChannel.com. Hey, we'll be back next Wednesday. Till then, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland. See you out there, road trucking across North America. So long, everybody.